Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. If you are keeping an eye on the gold prices, you're going to be particularly interested to know that it has been on an uptrend. In fact, it's hovering about $1,970 per troy ounce. This has been the kind of peaking levels since we saw in mid-2020. And of course, this wasn't the case before this. For the past 6 or 7 years, the price has been hovering at around 1,400 to 1,600. So the high levels of the gold prices that we see right now, between 1,800 to 1,900, has always been the new norm, so to speak, since the pandemic. Here to unpack this and more is, of course, joining me in the studio, Habib Group's Executive Chairman, Dato' Sri Mir Habib. Dato', thank you very much for coming over. This is a few times you've been on the show. It's always a pleasure speaking to you. Maybe you can talk to us through the idea of what's driving the gold prices right now. Why is it pushing upwards, and where do you see the trend moving?
Of course, the last 3 years after the pandemic, there's been a lot of uncertainties, and we have always been very concerned about the inflation because overall, all over the world, there was a lot of debt that was created, with the QE of printing money or borrowing money and all that. So there's a lot of inflation, and the hedge against inflation has always been gold. Is one of the best hedge. Beside that, I think last year we saw quite a few things. The war in Ukraine, as well as the energy crisis, has also pushed up the gold price quite a bit, and there's a lot of uncertainties. But at the same time, I think countries like in the US, they are trying to curb the inflation by increasing the interest rate. But even though with the increase of interest rate, we can see that the gold is still very strong. So either way, when we see, it is between recession, there's a balance between a recession and inflation. Either way, it is a good, a strong point for gold, and that's why we can see the gold has been increasing.
Okay, so forecasting-wise, do you see this strengthening of the gold prices going to continue in the near term?
I think generally most of the consultants have said that the gold price looks like it's still going up. But I think if you really look at it, the last November, it came down as low as 1,600 plus, 1,630. Mm-hmm. But today's... last week, it actually hit, there was one point more than 2,000. Mm-hmm. So we already peaked. And we are looking around 2,200 to 2,005 is what is expected.
Every time gold prices breach that 2,000 mark, it becomes some sort of a headline.
Yes.
Do you feel that that's going to happen anytime soon when it comes to gold prices strengthening right now?
The last one week, it has already hit a couple of times. Yeah. Just hit about 2,000 and came down, and still looking for some support. But I think they didn't expect another, because after the crisis, the banking crisis now, with the
Credit Suisse and SVB.
That's right.
First Republic.
The Silicon Valley and all that. I think they expected a Fed to control the hiking of the interest rate, but they still did with the 25 basis point.
Very recently,
Very recently. So I think, but the indication is there's going to be very much in control. So even though with the increase of slight interest rate, the gold is still very strong. So that is also giving us a very strong indication that gold is on its own and is quite solid as we see.
Okay, so how does this impact your business? Because you were talking about gold being a hedge. I understand that. There's also gold that is being used as a luxury item. But how does that tie with the high inflation rate? And at the same time, people are still romantic out there. They still want to buy stuff for their loved ones. If anything, you know, just to hold or position themselves as a jewelry for hedging. Mm. But at the same time, double up as a romantic kind of gift. Do you feel that consumer behavior is slowly changing for this year to adjust for inflation, to adjust for the new cost of living and many more?
Yeah. So first of all, there's one statement you said gold is looked at as a luxury. Actually, in Malaysia, we don't look at gold as a luxury, if you really look at it.
Okay.
Because in Malaysia, we buy gold for two reasons. One is as adornment. The second is as investment. a very large number of generally people are underbanked. That means they may have a bank account, but they don't have facilities and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them, they don't even have a bank account. You know, so they're unbanked.
Mm.
So a lot of people put their money. This is traditionally in Malaysia, not just Malays. They are Chinese, Indians. Traditionally in Malaysia, we buy gold and keep them. And when we need, let's say they want to send their children to university, or they want to go for pilgrimage or umrah or hajj and all that, people come back to sell the gold.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really look at it, everybody buys gold in Malaysia. It's not just as a luxury. From B40, M40, everyone. So it is quite different in that sense. So there's a lot of confidence in gold, because if you look at over the thousands of years, gold has always been a very strong sort of a currency.
Okay, but so what constitutes as luxury then? Is it diamonds, silver? Like, what would you call a luxury purchase for consumers in Malaysia?
Okay. Something that maybe don't have an element of investment, but people would like to still have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that I would consider as a luxury. But you know, there are a lot of jewelries, watches or handbags and everything else, especially the branded ones. So the price is very different. You know, there is no element of investment, some of it. So people still want to have, but they don't need it. So that I would consider as a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
But in this context, right, people buy for two reasons. The reason why I'm saying this is because still a large number of people, when they come to buy jewelry, they also come and sell their old jewelries. There is a lot of trade-in. You know, you're talking about 50%.
This happens in Habib outlets?
Yes, very much so.
So the trading happens in Habib. So I bring my version of jewelry.
Yes.
And then I will, upgrade to another jewelry.
Yes. At least 50% of what people buy, actually they come and sell their old jewelries. So when you're talking about gold price going up, it is not too bad for a lot of people, because
if it's trading,
they also get a high price for their old gold.
You know? Yeah.
And the second thing is, when the gold price is going up, that also gives a lot of confidence to the consumers, you know. So and more confidence that they have, they do come and invest in gold.
So do you feel that gold prices does have a positive demand among consumers when it comes to this market?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, wow.
You can see last year itself. Last year was quite a very strong year for most jewelers in Malaysia, because during this period, they were allowed to take out their money from the KWSP and all that. So some people did invest in gold, because there's two advantages. Right? One is they get to wear something new as jewelries, and secondly, the jewelry is also an investment. So that is also kind of a proof that luxury, they're normally talking about the T20 who's buying goods, but last year the people who took out money are general public, but that's why the jewelry shops have done well, actually, because people have come in and they get to buy something new. At the same time, most importantly, it's also an investment.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more when it comes to hedging risks and diversifying products with Habib Jewels. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on. I have with me in the studio our good friend of the show, Dato Sri Mir Habib, the executive chairman of Habib Group. Dato, maybe we can talk about the idea of diversifying your products and perhaps hedging and arbitraging with against some other classes of products. Where do you feel the strategy is when it comes to managing inventory of Habib Jewels, considering that there's volatility in the prices? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about gold prices soaring right now, but it has dropped quite considerably as well. So that whole volatility has to be managed to some degree.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk to us through some of the inventory management strategy of Habib Group right now.
Okay. Well, as far as we are concerned, if the gold price is going up, so we don't have to hedge anything. We can just keep the stock and it is naturally going up. But generally, we also do not speculate so much. Like if we were to sell a certain quantity, then we replace it with that amount. And over the many years, or long term, if the gold price is going up, it is fine. But the issue comes in is when you think that the gold price is going to go down. So that may be the concern, right? So during this period, what we will normally do is we can pay a deposit to the gold suppliers and we borrow the gold. So when the gold price comes down, only then we will fix the gold.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we do it.
And does this impact supply chain then?
It doesn't imply. It doesn't have any impact on the supply chain because you are physically buying the gold, and you're already paying, but you just didn't fix the gold price yet. So you're just buying the gold bars, and you know we are working with our factories to manufacture the jewelries. So when the gold price come down, only then we fix the gold price.
Out of curiosity, are your factories here in Malaysia and your craftsmen there in Malaysia or elsewhere?
Yes, we have factories in Malaysia. Our craftsmen are here, as well as we do a large amount of our jewelry in Italy. Mm. So we produce in Italy. We make in 22 karat gold or 916 gold, which is very unusual in Italy. But this is specifically produced just for Habib, because most of the jewelry that is produced in Italy are 9 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat.
Oh, okay.
But the 916 or what we call it, the 22 carat gold here in Malaysia is something very unique. We sell high percentage gold. That is because of what I said earlier. Jewelry is purchased as an investment in Malaysia. So we produce high percentage gold as opposed to, if you were to compare with Europe, for example, most of the jewelries are purchased as adornment.
Where do you see this cultural approach of buying gold come from? Is it based on what our elders have been telling us? Is it how we have been raised? Why do we approach this purchases of jewelry as not as an adornment but as an investment product?
Yeah, it has always been culturally. It's always been our culture, whether it is Indian culture, Malay culture, or Chinese culture. So we have a very so
strong,
very very strong Asian culture. It is. Gold has seen as a currency in that sense, and also a hedge against inflation.
But what about the Gen Zs, Millennial, Gen Alpha? Do they have the same kind of cultural approach, or do they feel that, you know, I'm so matsale, I just buy this as an adornment?
But you can see the Gen Zs were investing in Bitcoins, and some of them got burned as well.
That's some, I think a lot. Yeah,
yes, right?
I think really a lot.
So
yeah.
that is also has given a lot of confidence in gold. So there are a lot of Gen Zs are actually investing in gold. But sometimes it's a ETF or electronically traded funds. But the physical gold has always been very popular because sometimes, you know, normally these ETF and all that, when someone is buying, it should be backed by physical gold.
But that's right.
Sometimes it doesn't happen. So the safest would be the physical gold. So if you really look at our culture and heritage from long time ago, gold has always been seen as the currency. You know? And even if you go back...
Gold standard.
Yeah, gold standard, right? Even if you go back zaman Rasulullah dulu, you can buy one kambing with one dinar, for example, which is today, if you were to buy a kambing, it's almost the same. So that is a proven of, that's a proof that it's a hedge against inflation. Whereas even when I was a kid, roti canai was just a few cents. Now the price has gone up. Everything has gone up in our ringgit currency. But gold has remained as a, is the best hedge against inflation.
Okay. Now we need to talk at length about Habib's approach on growth. I've been to two outlets extremely recently, as recent as yesterday, at the KLCC outlet for some repairs. And last week I was at Habib Pavilion, again for another reason. Do you feel that the outlets are managing at capacity, or are there room for you to grow your outlets elsewhere, or at least improve on the size of it? Because quite frankly, I was a bit surprised at the amount of people that was at these outlets. And I didn't go at a peak hour or whatever. It was just a regular time, you know, like, I don't know, 3 p.m. or something like that. It was like strange. On a Wednesday, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
And there's a lot of people. Like, the first thought is like, tak ada kerja ke dorang ni? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like, it's not like a weekend or what.
Yep.
I can understand if weekend there's a lot of people. Now, outlet-wise, that there is that element, branches and all that. The last time you spoke to me, it was that whole notion of why is it that Malaysian shopping malls are not favoring local companies like Habib? Why are they favoring international jewelers like your competitors? I get that. And in fact, after speaking about that on my show the last time, that was one thing that I keep on noticing, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, it's not just about jewelers as well.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
the other brands, you know, apparel, you name it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one area of concern. Another area is, if you want to grow, of course you have to take bigger inventory, right?
Yes.
And how does that imply in terms of how you approach that whole pricing of your gold structure, gold hedging? So yeah, how do you manage that kind of dilemma of growth?
Yes. So in terms of growth, right? So we always think about the customers. What is convenient? What's good for the customers? So this is why we started having a bigger showrooms, where we can give a much better experience for our customers. So when customers walk into our stores, they get to see a variety of things.
Babe. On a Wednesday, I just don't get that. Yeah.
Yes. So there is a variety of things that people can see, and also the services that we can provide, like the repairs and everything else.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned also, people not just buy, they come to sell as well. And they not only trade in, they don't sell and buy some new jewelries. Sometimes people do sell for cash as well.
Yeah.
So when we are doing this kind of transactions, our margins cannot be very high because we sell and we buy. There's always a spread. Right? So the idea of us doing business the way we do it in Malaysia is we need to have a high turnover with a low margin. That's why probably you see a lot of people coming into our shops where, you know, as much as possible. I mean, our prices are very reasonable. And if we were to compare anywhere else in the world, Malaysia, I would say, is one of the best places, best place to buy jewellery because of this. Our overhead expenses are not very expensive compared to other parts of the world. I mean, if you look at Singapore, which is a neighbouring country, or any other places, our overhead expenses are still very reasonable. And the gold price has always been very reasonable because of the culture that we have.
Do you feel that there is a market saturation that has been reached by Habib in Malaysia?
No, there's still room for, you know, expanding. But we need to make sure that every time that we open a store, we must make sure that everything is working well and we are giving the best of the service to our customers.
Okay, but international programs then, international growth, is that high on the agenda for Habib?
Yes, we are very seriously looking at expanding overseas at the moment. But most probably, we'll be looking into the regional areas first before we go outside.
Okay. And has that been coming along well, the regional growth?
Yes, it is still work in progress. And inshallah, hopefully something come out very soon.
Okay.
Yes.
One more short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Sri Mirhabib. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Dr. Sri Mirhabib, Habib Group Executive Chairman, joining us. Let's talk some about some of the promotions that Habib is currently doing. I understand that there's a promotion on gold bars as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share with us some of the ideas that perhaps some of our viewers can appreciate.
Yeah, correct. Right now is the fasting month, and we'll be celebrating Hari Raya. So Hari Raya has always been this period has always been the busiest period for us because most of our customers would want to have something new. And usually it starts off with children, you know. Malaysian tradition is like that. The first week, they come and buy for their children, first week of Puasa. Okay. And then the last minute, right before the Raya, they will come and buy for themselves. So, and this year, you see, Habib is looked at as a heritage jeweler. We are very, very proud of a Malaysian tradition. We would like to put Malaysia in the map of the world through culture and taste. Mm. A jeweler is looked at as a tastemaker of a country.
Oh, yeah?
So,
oh,
yes.
Wow. Okay.
So, we really work really hard to come up with something nice. And we are very proud of being Malaysian. You can see a lot of brands, right? They are Malaysian brand, but they have a foreign-sounding name. But I feel this is something that we have to... Maybe it came from a colonial mentality. Sometimes people think that we are not good enough. But we are really, really proud to be Malaysian and as a Malaysian brand. Mm. And that's why we always... earlier on, I was talking about that's why we're always fighting with the shopping mall and whoever else, you know. Why there is double standard, you know. A local brand is not given a good location, but you're giving a better location to a brand from overseas. Mm. So so that's something that we try to do. So this year, our theme is Tekad. So we got inspiration from that and our designs of jewelries, and we come up with the gold bars, gold wafers that we sell. It is inspired from Tekad, and it is something very, very different this year that we have produced. And we are very design-centric. Habib is known for the design. So we do a lot of research to come up with Malaysia, or generally a Southeast Asian sort of a feel in terms of design. So you can see a differentiation when you look at a Habib product. The designs are quite distinctive and from any other brands.
Okay, with this in mind, who would be some of the people that might be interested to find out more? Is it the purchase maker, which normally is the man, or the decision maker, which is normally the lady, or the young or the old? Who's your target audience for this one?
A lot of it is the decision makers. Ladies has always been coming to Habib. But, you know, somehow or other, during the fasting month, we also see the men coming along. Last time, I used to notice that the men would sit in one corner while waiting for the wife
to get it over and done with. Yeah.
Yes. But today, I see quite different. The men are very interested also to understand. To look at what is happening, maybe because of this element of investment as well. And every time they come in, they also try to, they ask for, about what's happening, and especially in terms of the gold price. And what the other thing that we notice also, the men are the one who are buying more of the gold bars. So it is not just the jewelry that we are selling, and people come, they come to Habib, they also buy the gold bars. So we have from 1 gram onwards to, you know, 1 kilo. Mm. As investment, some of them would want to put a small amount of their investment in gold.
What about storage? Do you offer storages as well? I mean, if I have 1 kilo of gold bar, I don't want to be, you know, simpan bawah bantal kind of situation, right?
Yes, yes. A lot of people do keep themselves, but we can make some arrangement as well if they want to keep with us.
Okay.
Yes.
Final question. What is the expectation for the business of Habib, considering that cost of living is still on high on the agenda? Yes, we've talked about it as an investment product, but still. Mm-hmm. Do you worry for your own business when it comes to cost of living rising?
The cost of living rising, that we hope that it can be controlled, but I think the government is taking a lot of steps to control that cost. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it is still a goal. It's always been looked at as investment as well. So that part is not really too much of a concern. Mm. On the other hand, as I was also talking about people coming in to trade in their old jewelries, you get to see more of these kind of things coming in. Mm. So it's not too much of a concern. We really hope that we overcome this situation very quickly, and we have a lot of confidence in what's happening right now.
Thank you very much. That was Dato' Sri Mir Habib, the Executive Chairman of Habib Group. If you want to learn more about this, just head on to some of the outlets or their website. It's a pretty funky website as well. You can browse or at least dream to buy some of the stuff that is presented there. For me, this is all that we can bring to you when it comes to gold prices, commodity prices, luxury market, investment market, and of course, just consumer demand market as well. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.